Asif, it's a real pleasure to interview you because ever since I heard you tell me the story about your grandfather, Muhammad Gama, and how you discovered that he was on the ships in the First World War, I really wanted to be able to share it with other people. So thank you for sharing it with everybody here today. So first of all, I understand that you never met your grandfather. Can you tell us now about how you found out that he was a seafarer in the First World War?
Yeah. Well, actually, my family had their home refurbished back home in Pakistan. In 2011, my family was asking me to visit. So I visited, and my mother was saying about some box, a wooden box that my nan had, and she would never let no one touch it. So I thought, because my mum kept going on about this box, and I need to find this box. So I had a look around for my grandmother's belongings. And from this box, I found this set of letters. Two of the letters were pension letters from the Ministry of Social Security. And there was also a mention about a medal in the letters. And that's how I came to find out that my grandfather had some sort of service in the First World War.
So you actually didn't find out very directly because you found a letter from your grandma, which was trying to claim your grandfather's pension from in 1967. So can you tell us how that led to you actually finding out that you'd been in the war?
She actually sent the medals to the UK as part of the pension claim to prove that he was a seafarer in the war. And the two medals that he had was the Mercantile Marine War Medal and the British War Medal.
The medals weren't there.
Yes, that's right. The medals were not there. And that's what I found really upsetting, that, you know, to find out that he had two war medals, and where are they? And what are the names of these medals? And what did they look like? Because I was totally new to this. I had no idea to, you know, what were the medals like? What were their names?
So you discovered that he'd been involved in the First World War because of finding the Social Security letter and the medals. The medals weren't there. Did you know anything else about the medals at that point?
At that point, I never actually knew much about the medals or where they were or whether they survived.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do next?
So what I've done next is that I actually brought the pension letters back to the UK. And I thought that I'm going to have to take this back with me home and I'm going to have to research and find out more about this. So when I came back here, I looked into it in more detail.
Mm-hmm. So what did you have to do?
Okay. So what I've done then is that I looked into, you know, trying to find service records for my grandfather, maybe passenger list, crew list, to see, you know, what was his role in the war. Was he a soldier? Was he a seafarer? What was he? Before I could take it any further.
And his name was Muhammad Gama. And how important was it that was his name in being able to track him down? Well, his name was Muhammad Gama.
That's right.
But in the letter, the Social Security letter, there was some debate about whether that was actually his proper name or whether he was his father rather than himself.
That's right. I wanted to establish that for myself as well, make sure that those medals are his and that is his actual name. So looking into it, I actually found out that his name had been anglicised, but it was an anglicised spelling, which is why I couldn't actually find out, you know, because we actually spelled Muhammad quite differently. Whereas it was spelled as Muhammad, so it's sort of, we can pronounce it differently, but technically it's the same thing. And you could say Gama came from Gulam Muhammad. It was like you say in English, Jonathan. Jonathan from Jonathan. So Gama was something that my friend had used as a name.
So it wasn't immediately obvious that if you found his name, that it would be recorded in the way that it was recorded for the medal.
That's right.
Okay, so this led you to researching in a whole range of archives. You'd never had experience of this type of research before. And it wasn't just in the UK, it's also archives in North America, in Belfast as well, is that
Belfast,
right?
So
can you tell us what you managed to find out about Muhammad Gama's life about his journeys from looking in these archives?
Good question. My searches took me to the National Maritime History Archives in Canada. I was liaising with David Bradley, and someone suggested me to National Archives Q, the British Library, the National Archives India. The whole list could go on quite long there. So what I found from this list is that I found passenger lists, and I found that my grandfather was actually a fireman in the First World War. And some of the vessels that he served on was the SS Medina and the SS Khyber. And he sailed from Liverpool to Plymouth to New York, and they were sort of involved in transporting American troops to France.
So you found his records on two different ships.
That's right.
And can you say what information you found from the archives in New York as well, particularly what you got from those archives?
Well, from those archives, I found out, I managed to find the places he travelled to, and I also managed to find out what his role was, that he was a fireman, and that he travelled to Plymouth, he travelled to London, travelled to New York, and possibly even France, but I'm not too sure, 100% France. And I managed to find out a lot more information as to his height. Well, I had sort of an idea about his height before, but his year of birth, quite a bit of information.
So how far have we moved on now from when you originally found the box? How much time has gone past?
Well, it was actually 2011, and 6 years onwards, I managed to find quite a bit of information now. Whereas in the past, I was at every avenue of go down, it was like a dead end. Everywhere I was new, and I didn't even know that when it said the location was about 1914 and 1918, what war that was, because it just simply said 1914-1918 war bands. And I was like naive to actually even know that was the First World War period.
So have you found out anything else about his life during the First World War?
Well, I found things from life during the First World War that he was on the SS Khyber, he was on the SS Medina, and I know that the Medina was torpedoed something like 5 months later after my grandfather had discharged me on the 20th of November 1916. And same with the SS Khyber, I know that it had four near misses. So others died during the war. My grandfather survived. He spent a lot of period of his life, you know, away from home. Which is like he would be away for some like 6 months to probably a year or even more. But he wouldn't return home. He would be on the ships, and they wouldn't be discharged from the ships. They would actually probably stay on the front decks of the ships.
So one of the things that you were saying to me on the train on the way down, which I hadn't heard before, was how after finding out about the ships being torpedoed after your grandfather had been discharged from them, you wanted to find out about the names of people who had possibly been people that he'd been crew with before, who were on those ships and who died. Did you manage to find out their names?
Yes, that's right. I did. I ran some searches on the Commonwealth War Graves Commission website, but I wasn't able to sort of find the full details. So I read through a book called The Cross of Sacrifice, which I was mentioned to Georgie this morning on the train journey here. And I managed to find six seafarers that died on that vessel. And five of them happened to be Indian, and they were from a Muslim background, and they were Indian. And I was looking at a book called A Fleet History, published by the P&O, and that documents that was actually four. It says four firemen, but it doesn't actually say who they were. So when I done in-depth search, I found out it was four. It was actually five, so it was one missing. Then I found the names as well.
So at the same time that you've been searching through the archives to track down information about your grandfather's life during that period, you also were trying to track down the missing World War I medals, which your grandmother had sent over to the British Social Security Authority's way back in 1967, which hadn't been seen since. And you told me that you really didn't know because she herself couldn't write, so she had to get somebody in the village to write for her. So maybe the medals had gone missing via that person. You had no idea at what stage the medals had gone missing. So I understand that at the same time you were writing to dealers. I understand you're writing to about 88 different medal dealers, and you're using social media to try and track down those medals. So can you tell us a bit more about what you've been doing to track them down?
I wrote to some, I actually didn't write to the 88 dealers, but I kind of like put the addresses down on envelopes for 88 dealers, and I sort of sent out something like 90 tweets or something. And I joined various groups on Facebook, missing medals group on Facebook, and I was searching for them literally day and night, And it came down to a point where I thought this has got to end somewhere and I can't actually carry this on anymore. It was just the point where I sort of decided to send back to 88 dealers to see if they might have them. It was just one night before I was about to send the letters out, and I decided to do one final search, and it lasted something like 10 hours, and I came across a website called www.coinsave.co.uk run by a medal dealer, James Drawbridge, and I've done a search on there, and the medal showed up in his website. And it's just like really amazing that I've sort of managed to get a medal back. I didn't ever think it would, because I was told before by medal dealers that returning medal school is like finding a needle in a haystack. And I had medal dealers literally laugh at me, and you wouldn't find this and take me there forever. But I'm just really amazed I couldn't have thought that my grandfather ended up being seen here. And I didn't mind if I show it. But here it is. Here's the original medal. And I'll replace it with I didn't find any other medal, and I don't intend to. No way. I could spend the rest of my life.
But in the end, you bought it. You bought That's it right. back. And the interesting thing is that Jim Strawberry bought it in an auction in 2014, but you've got no idea about what happened between 1967 and 2014.
Well, the interesting part to this was that it was actually auctioned by an auctioneer called Lockdowns in Ipswich in 2014, in March. And it was then that I actually found out through searches on the internet, online, and through catalogues that they had auctioned it. And now this question was that I got in touch with Lockdowns, but Lockdowns were not prepared to tell me who the medal was sold to. So that's when I began my huge search, and it came back to Jim Strawbridge and Jim Kindly, James returned the medal to me. And he told me that he's delightful to attend.
So thank you very much for sharing the story with everybody. I mean, I'm sure as everybody realises, the story is much, much longer and much more detailed than we've had a chance to talk about today, but there'll be more opportunities for you to...
I'd just like to thank Georgie and also my father, who was ill, who couldn't actually be here today. It would be a lot better. You see, with my granddad's only son, so he was here. It would be a lot better. Also, I'd like to thank my little sister, because if it wasn't for her today, I would not be here, because I'm actually caring for my father. She took on the caring duties when I could come here today.